So we're reading, or we're going to be speaking from Joshua 1:1 today. And I spoke 3-4 weeks ago about having faith during the pause and waiting on God to do something in our lives, right? God will come through. God will not leave us or forsake us. He has a plan, and we just need to trust this plan, right? Today, I want to share with you a different version of it, a new version of it that we need to have the faith to step forward, that God is already giving something to you and to me, and it's our turn to take a step forward. He already ordained it. He already gave it to us. It's time for me to take what I was given. This message today is not to pump you up, and I'm going to try to be very calm and not hyper at all. As this is very hard for me, but I'm going to try, because I don't want this to be, you know, let's get on in the top of the mountain. No, I want this to be practical steps that you and I can take one at the time, and where we can really possess what God has for us, because God has so much for us to take. And I struggled with this for so long, because after I gave my life to Jesus, I was expecting something miraculous to happen in my life. You know, maybe I won a couple of warfares here and there, right? Maybe I won a couple of battles just like Joshua. He went a couple of battles, he won some, and I thought that this is it. But it turns out that there is a promised land that you and I can and will possess in Jesus' name. We just need to walk that. You know, the Israelites were wandering in the desert for how long? 40 years. How long should it have taken them from Egypt? 11 days. And this is the same for us. Sometimes we wander from what God has for us because we're not really, really listening to Him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. God has so much, and time to take it. Time to possess it. But this is not a arise, jump out of the grave and start walking. This is not arise, leave your bed behind and or carry your bed. This is not that kind of arise. This is arise and let's take a deep breath and go on to that journey together. Are you guys ready?
Yes.
Okay. Don't be pumped up, please. Because that will be the opposite of what I want to do today. The first thing when God came to speak to Joshua, said what? Arise. God is coming to meet him where he is. And it starts that chapter, it starts with the whole book with the mentioning of Moses being what? Dead. Moses is dead. And let me remind you, Moses is his what? His mentor. He's the one that led the people out of Egypt. Moses was someone who's so special and very precious to all of them that when they looked at Moses, they saw what? They saw God. They saw the glory of God. They heard God when they spoke to Moses. So losing Moses is not something easy. Okay? This is not just someone who's dead. This is losing almost everything that, okay, you got us out of Egypt. Now he's dead. Congratulations. That's it. You're lost. You're done. This is not an easy experience to go through. And when God is coming to talk to me, he's coming to talk to me exactly where I am. And at that point, they were in the wilderness. They were lost. And they lost the person who was the middleman between them and God. Joshua lost more than that, because he lost someone who's like a father to him. He lost someone he depended on, he leaned on. And this is very close to a lot of situations you and I go through, where you feel like you're in this place where everything is lost, where there is no way that is. I just want to see the light some way. I just want to see what direction to take. Because right now, I am completely lost and I'm completely alone. Have you ever been there? Have you ever seen that? Because that's one of the toughest places to be. And here's the good news. God is saying to you, arise, that's not your place. Arise, I am coming to you. I am coming to talk to you where you are. I'm not waiting for you to be a Superman, to put your wings on, or to put the Iron Man suit on, to do something. No, I'm coming to you where you are. And I'm going to speak to you where you are. And we are going to figure out a way to leave this place and to see and to possess what you can possess that I'm giving to you. Arise. In Deuteronomy 32:10, he found him in a desert land and a wasteland, a howling wilderness. Listen to what God says. He encircled him. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eyes. This is my story, and this is probably your story. When we were lost, when we were in a deserted place, and God came and encircled. I think the words in Arabic are more like hugged, or like, you know, he just gathered them and I said, like, let's embrace. That's the word. Embrace. New word for the day. Embraced him. And he said, let's go. I know where you are. And let's go take a trip together. God came to him in the wilderness. God came to him during his sorrow. God came to him when he was confused and there is no lack of direction. And he said, arise. But arise, I'm not going to fly you out of that place to another place. No, arise, and we're going to take this slow, one step at a time. Are we willing to do that, or are we always looking for the home run? And I am sorry, because I was one of the people that preached and spoke so much about the arise and jump out of the grave, that sometimes I forget to arise and let's talk. Arise and let's have a conversation. Arise and let's reason together. Let's see what we're going to do. Arise. I don't want to be pumped. Yes. Moses is dead, right? But God is not dead. We might lose someone or we might lose something, but we never lose God. You might have lost Moses. It's a given. You lost Moses, but I'm still here. You might have lost Moses, but my promises are still here. You might have lost Moses, but guess what? You are still here. And you're going to do the work. What you thought will get you to the other side, that's not happening. You are going to be the reason to get to the other side. You've been looking all of this time for someone to get you to the other side, but you're going to take you to the other side with my help, obviously. God's help, not my help. With God's help, obviously, you're going to get to the other side. And the other side we're talking about here, where were they going? They were going to inherit the land. They were going to the land that God is giving them. What is our land? Our land is not just heaven. Our land is to bring heaven into this earth, to bring heaven into this life. These are the promises that God is giving to us. This is the life that Jesus intended for you or me. This is the life that Jesus lived here on earth. One of the most amazing things about the birth of Jesus and the life of Jesus, that he lived the life that you and I can live. And God is promising for us to live if we obey his command. Arise and listen carefully. And listen to what God says to him. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go to the Jordan and all these people to the land which I am giving you. The first thing that we need to do when we arise isn't to pick up and leave. Isn't to tell God, why would you take Moses from me? Why would you take this from me? Why did you allow this to happen? It isn't questioning God. Job was questioning God for so long. So long. Why is this happening? Listening to other people. The first thing that we need to do in this journey to possess what God has for us is to listen to God. To actually listen. We think of prayers as, I am coming to just give God a list and then goodbye. When was the last time we actually came before God and said, speak, O Lord? Back in the days when God would say something. I'm not against praying, by the way. I'm not against talking to God. I'm not against any of that. But the complete prayer is talking with God, not talking at God. Communicating with God. Imagine if I call my friend here and I get on the phone and I say, hey, how are you? I haven't seen you in a while. How's everything? Bye. Did I really communicate with him? Okay. We need to listen to God. We need to listen to God. Just that song that you were singing a few minutes ago. We need to listen to God because he might have the answer that we're looking for. He might have the directions that we are seeking. You know, he might have the words that will open our eyes to what we can't see. He might have it. Matter of fact, he does have it. We're just not letting him, we're not giving him that chance to speak those words into our lives. Our first step is to listen to God. Ask and wait to listen. And God says, my servant Moses. God is bringing himself into that situation that you're in. He's saying that this is my servant. So whatever it is that you feel like stopping you or making you sad, this thing is actually serving me. Because at the end of the day, all things will do what? Work together. Even Moses' death, even when I lose something that is so precious or special to me, even that will work for your best if you allow me to change that. If you allow me to bring beauty out of what? Ashes. This is death. This is death. How can anything good come out of that? Well, that's his job. That's what he can do. That's his servant. And then let God speak, because he has a plan. Let God speak, because he knows what he's talking about. Let God speak, because as we were singing, the words that you give me is better than anything I ever needed, right? Something like that. Can you imagine if that man, the blind man, who was screaming, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me! Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me!" And then he closes his ears. See, you're laughing. You're laughing. It's funny, right? To think that, but it happens a lot with us. We come to the presence of God and saying, "Have mercy on me," and then we do this. He wants to have mercy. He wants to help. He wants to tell you, you are healed. If you were the leopard man, he wants to come and tell you, you are healed now, go show yourself to the priest and live a normal life. But you have to let him speak. And then he reassures you of his promises. "Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. As I said to Moses, from the wilderness," and he goes to the list. Every place. Everything I'm thinking of. So Lord, can I really have that peace, joy that the Bible talks about? Can I have that holiness? Because right now, I can't imagine myself in that place. Right now, I can't see myself living that kind of life. Right now, I don't see any, because I tried. And every time I tried, I failed. Every time I tried to possess something that you said that could happen to me, every time I tried to live the life of Jesus, it does not work and it's not working. But here it's telling me that every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, you will take. And you will, it's giving to you. The question isn't how will that happen. The question is, are you willing to go to take it? Are you willing to let that happen? See, the question isn't that how will this little oil that's left in the bottom of the bottle will make me and my son live for a long, 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 long time. That's not the question. The question is, do you have enough empty pots in your house? And if you don't, go get some. The question isn't how will God work these things in my life. The question is my life empty enough and ready for him to receive all of this? See, we wanna do this the other way around. Okay? We don't want to empty ourselves and we're asking God to fulfill us. But how will he do that? We are already full. Empty your life. Empty yourselves and wait and wait and wait on the Lord. And he will fulfill it. And he will make that little bit of oil, that little boy, he will not end as long as you are not full. The question, my friends, here is not how will the rain come down. The question is, have you prepared your fields? Have you made them ready? You shared this with me about 9 years ago. I started my new business and it was miserable. It was horrible. Really, the worst times of our life, right? And I was talking to my brother and he shared this verse with me. He said, just get ready. That's all what you can do right now. Just get ready. See, a lot of times in our spiritual lives, we're not getting ready. We're not putting in the work to receive what God is about to send. But God is telling you, you have to work. You have to do something to receive these promises. We think that faith is just sitting, sipping on some tea and waiting for God to do a miracle. That is not faith. If I don't come to church today, how will God speak to me? If I don't read my Bible, how will I know His Word? If I don't start praising Him, how will these walls of sadness and struggles and stress fall down? I have a part and I have a job to do, but we need to do it. We need to be convinced that this is a part that for me to do. How will Peter, see, also, let's go back. Peter, God is telling Peter, go out of this prison. Leave this prison. Okay? And, but the walls, the chains, the guards, guess what Peter had to do? Put on his shoes. Are you ready to walk? Because if you're ready to walk, I'm ready to break the walls. If you're ready to walk, I'm ready to break the chains. If you're ready to walk, I will take care of the guards. If you are ready to walk, are you ready to possess? Are you ready to take? Because I'm willing to give. Remind yourself of God's promises. Remind yourself that God has a great, great destiny for you. And remind yourself that no one can stand against God's will. Why don't we do this? Look at the person next to you and tell him or tell her, God has a great destiny for me. Tell him, no one can stop God's destiny in my life. I'm not convinced. You guys are weak. You guys are weak. Oh, you got to do a better job. Mama, get closer to her. You guys are too far. I want you to say it. Say it like you mean it. Okay? God has a great destiny for me.
God has a great destiny for me.
No one can stop God's destiny in my life. That's better. Good job. Give your hand. Give yourselves a hand. And then after we reassure ourselves with God's promises, after we assure ourselves that it's about faith, but that faith, that work in faith, guess what? God comes and addresses our fears. Because He knows that the second you say, that's it, Lord, I am ready, I am pumped up, I am ready to go, and then there's that voice that comes in your head say, well, you failed before. Well, it didn't work before. Well, how are you going to possess this? How about the people that are living in the land? How about the Jordan? How about this? And how about this? And how about this? And all these doubts and fear start coming to you. And if they don't come to you right now while you're at church, they're definitely going to come to you after you leave church. I promise you that. And if not after church, it's going to be tomorrow morning. You're going to have all these fears and doubt coming back telling you, you are not going to get this done. You tried before. It's not going to work. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. He knows that there will be struggles. He knows that there's someone going to be waiting for you to give you that little voice. But the fight, the real fight for us to take what God has for us, it's not about the other man on the other side. Honestly, it's about the man that's inside. It's about me. If anyone stopping me from possessing what God has for me, it's me. Yes, there is the devil. Yes, there is the world. But the one person can struggle with me the most, that can give me the most trouble, is me. They left the land of Egypt. And guess who is the first one to fight them? The Amalek. Amalek? Amalekites, such a fancy name. The first one, and what was that a symbol of?
The flesh.
See, you can go around thinking that your war is against her, against your boss, against your husband, against your wife, against your co-workers, against everyone. You can go thinking that the war is against the pastor or against the worship leader, but the war that's stopping you from taking what God has for you, usually it's within. And that's what we need to face today. Don't worry about the enemies around you. Those enemies are taken care of. Those enemies are actually shaking, so afraid of you. Because the name of the Lord is on your life. When the two spies went to Jericho and talked to Rahab, she said what? She said, when we heard about you, we are terrified. We are frightened. Why? Because we knew that the Lord is with you, and the Lord is the one, the Lord that split the Red Sea in front of you. The enemy everywhere is frightened by you. He is so scared of you. There is something that's so special about you right now since God took you out of Egypt. There is so something that's so glorious that when you walk anywhere, there's this hello, you know, the thing, you know, that you might not see it, but it is there, that people are so afraid of you. Don't worry about the enemy. Just worry about the real enemy that's stopping you. Listen to this in Exodus 17:9. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod in my with the rod of God in my hand. Because Moses knew that this enemy is coming and putting his hand on what God has already chosen to possess. God chose you, the people of God. God chose you to perform miracles in you and through you. And the first enemy comes to fight you is the flesh. That's the first enemy. And God said, you know what, Joshua? Go and fight them. Go and fight that flesh. Go say no to that flesh. Go put that flesh out of control. But here's the good news. Moses might be dead, right? But guess what? It's really, really good news for us. That we don't need Moses to win this fight. Because we have the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And with the Spirit, you do what? You defeat the work of the flesh. You can win it. You can say no to that ugly nature that keeps coming every now and then. Not every, that's always there. You can defeat that. See, Samson, yep. He was so brave. He was so strong. He was able to beat so many people, like hundreds and thousands of people. But he forgot about one enemy that he couldn't beat. And that enemy ended up destroying his life. And who is that enemy? Is it one of the Palestinian kings or warriors? Who is that enemy? It's himself. David was so brave against Saul, against the Palestinians, against all the kings. He was so brave, strong warrior against everyone. And one time he forgot about, there is one enemy that he forgot about. The one that lives inside of him. No one has more authority to stop me from what I can take other than me. I am the one that's standing in my way. I am the one that's not willing to submit to God, to submit to the Word of God, to submit to the work of the Holy Spirit. I am the one that's not willing to do that, to take what I have, what God has for me. You know, and God gives him then the keys to succeed. Here is the key for success. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law. Not a little bit of it. All the law. Which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper. The true strength isn't in the miracles you perform. The true strength isn't and how amazing you are in your job or in your social life or whatever that is. The true strength is how willing are you to obey the word of God? How willing are you to obey the commands of God? Joshua's first test was, Joshua, I want you and these people to cross the Jordan. Okay? All right, Lord, let's do this. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to grab a staff or something, just like what Moses did, and I'm going to go to the Jordan River and hit that Jordan River, and the water is going to split and the people can go. That's what the Word of God said, right? It happened. Didn't it happen before? No. Here's what you're going to do. To cross that Jordan, to reach your land, here's what you're going to do. No staff. You're not going to be up front. You're going to get the priests. The priests are going to carry the Ark of Covenant. They're going to step into the river, and then the water is going to stop. Amen. A true leader, a true believer, a true person who's really looking for God's full potential isn't the one that's always putting himself ahead. It's the one that's putting God's word ahead. And God's word said, let the priests go first. Let my covenant go first. And when my covenant goes before you, you will be able to cross to the other side. And my covenant is valid for all times. When you put the promises of God, when you put the word of God in front of you, this is going to be the way to get to the other side. See, I have to come to church willing to listen what Joe has to do. I have to follow him into worship to be able to lead the life that God wants me to lead. I have to listen to my pastor because he has the word of God. I have to follow him to be able to be a good leader in the life that I want to live. If I can't follow the word of God, I cannot lead my home. If I cannot follow the word of God, I cannot lead to my destiny. The word of God has to be in front of me and it has to be ahead of me at all times. And which part of the word of God? All of it. All of it. Even the ones we don't understand? Yes. Even if the ones that we can't really, you know, it doesn't really work well with our culture or our time or whatever? Yes, all of it. If you don't put the word of God first and you try to do this on your own, you're going to drown and you're going to cause everyone to drown. You're going to be disappointed and everyone will be disappointed. You're going to fail and everyone will fail. Not just that, but those who heard of you and were frightened by you, okay, now they're going to hear, oh, they couldn't, I mean, they were able, they lost it. They lost their touch because maybe it was an accident that they crossed the Red Sea. Maybe that was an accident. They can't do it anymore. He humbled himself before the word of God and did exactly what God told him to do. And right after, listen to this. This I'm telling you, this Bible, if we just sit and read it carefully, it's full of, I mean, really, full of surprises, full of amazing things that you just want to read and read and read and read. Right after they crossed the Jordan, and after Joshua did what he did, in Joshua 3:7, and the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to what? Exalt you. I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you." There's that verse in the Bible that says, those who humble themselves, I will exalt, or will be exalted, and those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Remember that? And who am I humbling myself towards? It's the word of God. If I come to God with humility saying, I'm willing to obey, I'm willing to listen, I'm willing to do what you tell me to do, you'll be exalted. You will get to that destination. You will get to your potential. But if you come against the word of God every time, see where's that going to take you. I'm running out of time. Make God's promises very, and I wrote like five very personals. Make God's promises very, 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 very personal. Today is about you. It's not about the group. It's not just about the group. It's about you. And let me explain that. In verse 9, it says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Didn't it say in verse 9? I think it was verse 7. Let me go back. In verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous that the land," where is it? "I swore to their fathers to give them." Isn't that the promise that you gave, Lord, when we left out of Egypt? Wasn't that the promise? You said, "I am taking you out of Egypt to a land that, you know, milk, yeah." But they're not here. How can I believe something that's not happening? Because you're asking me to believe in the future. You're asking me to believe in the unseen. But what I have seen, you told my fathers the same exact thing, and where are they now? How many people entered the promised land of all the people that went to Egypt?
Two.
Joshua and Caleb, right? Two people out of how many? Thousands. Thousands and thousands of people. So how can I believe in this while I don't see anyone from the people that you took out of Egypt, from the people that heard the same message? How can I believe that? It's very simple. Those people didn't obey. It's very simple. Those people never trusted me. It's very simple. Those people kept yitzamaru, yani.
Complain.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. That's easy. They kept complaining. They kept complaining day after day after day. I told them to go right. They went left. I told them to go left. They went right. But here's the good news. You are not your father. That's a revelation right there. You are not your father. Even if it didn't work for your father, even if it didn't work for your relatives, even if it didn't work for those who were around you that you looked at and you saw, you thought that these are the people, even if it didn't work for all of those people that had the promises, it will work for you if you obey. Do not let other people's failures stop you from the success that God has for you. There's something that I'm the youngest in my family. Okay? And it had a lot of great things being the youngest. Okay? I mean, I was spoiled. I would always tease my brothers and sisters and they cannot touch me. Okay? Because I had the protection of my father. No one can touch me. So I can do whatever I want. But there's something that really annoyed me all the time being the youngest. You know what that was? They would tell me, when I get angry, oh, he's angry like so and so. He's going to grow up being like so-and-so. And if I am like lazy, oh, he's going to be lazy for the rest of his life like so-and-so. They always compared me to those who are older than me. And that drove me crazy. Because I felt like I had no chance. I had no chance. I am going to be like, I am going to be a copy of that person or that person or that person. Like, I cannot be the man that God wants me to be. I cannot be my own self. I grew up struggling with that. And I kept wondering, but they said yesterday I'm going to be like my brother so-and-so. And today they're telling me I'm going to be like this person. And tomorrow, who am I? See, we often do that to ourselves. That we compare ourselves with those who are in the past. But God is telling you, I'm going to be with you. This promise is for you. It's designed, it's tailored, fit, or yeah, to you. No one else. It's your promise. Take it. Do not get any people, anyone from the past or anyone from the future. It is just for you. I pray that today we'd start believing that. I pray that today we'd start silencing. Silencing all the noises that are telling us they couldn't make it, you can't make it. No, today I'm going to say, if he says I can make it, then I can make it. Acting on God's word. Joshua heard God's voice and didn't get just pumped up. He actually went and acted on it. He went to all the people and said, prepare yourselves. In 3 days, we are crossing this Jordan. In 3 days, we are taking what God has promised. In 3 days, all these years and all these thousands and thousands and thousands of people could not achieve, you and I are going to achieve in 3 days. In 3 days, go and prepare yourselves. Get ready. Our wait is over. The wait is over. Your number is called. Time to take up your warming up jersey or whatever, and get on the court. It's your turn and it's your time. He got on the court. He went immediately after God spoke to him and got on the court. And this is what God is waiting for us. This is what God is looking for us to do today. Get on the court. Get on the field. It's your turn. Your number is being called right now. Get on there. Because God wants to give you, He wants to see you in your full potential. You've been stopping for so long. You've been on wait, on hold for so long. Whether because of the sadness, whether because of the lack of direction, whether because of the past, whatever it is. Okay? We're going to put all of that to rest. And right now, it's time for you to get up and take what I have for you. He got up and he commanded his people to go. And he told them exactly what God told them. He didn't make up anything. He didn't overpromise or he didn't underpromise. Okay? Today, as I told you in the beginning, I'm really trying to stay calm today, even though I'm really excited. Okay, but I'm trying to really stay calm because I don't want us to feel like, that's it, tomorrow we're gonna go kill it. It's not about that. It's about listening to God's voice and bringing every issue of those before God. And say, okay, I've struggled with this. I've struggled with that. And let's work on it. His word is available for everyone. His promises are available for everyone. And tomorrow, today, this moment, we can take it. We can start that journey with Him. We can see that fulfillment of our lives being in front of our eyes if we just trust Him. And if we go based on what He says. Whew. Did God give them the promises or not? Did they see the land? Did they cross? Anyone stood, and you know, anyone was able to take them? So it happened. What made them so special that for it to happen to them? You can talk. You're allowed.
Obedience.
Obedience, good. What else?
They believed his promises.
Thank you. They believed his promises. They just simply got up and believed. Are we willing to believe today? Are we willing to truly believe? Not just to tell me that because we're at church. Are we willing to believe? Am I willing to believe when I go home today that I have to be led by God before I try to lead my wife and my kids? Before I start telling them my own poisoned thoughts and my own poisoned culture, my poisoned bringings, can I just bring them the word of God instead of my own philosophies? Because usually they're really bad. Usually they don't work. Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to trust God? Am I willing to wait on Him and listen to what to His instructions and listen to what He has to say before I take a step forward? Or am I just taking the direction, I'm just, you know, let's go, and then waiting on Him to say something while I'm on the road? Listen to God. Obey the promises, believe in the promises, and let's go. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your voice this morning that tells us to arise. Tells us that this is enough sleeping, enough delaying. This is the time to go. This is the time to take what's ours. What you have promised to us and promised to our children and grandchildren. Lord, I believe with all of my heart that your destiny is great for all of us. Lord, I thank you for this time that we listen to your voice, but I pray that it wouldn't be the last. I pray that we would wait and listen to your voice. I pray that every time we come to meet you, we would have this purpose in our heart to listen to you. Because your voice is beautiful. Your voice is sweet. Your words are amazing. They're full of encouragement. They're full of life. They're full of promises. Lord, I pray that you would reassure everyone in this room, all of my brothers and sisters here, you would reassure them of all the promises you have for them and to help them get ready. Yeah. To get ready to give them what you have for them. Lord, we thank you because no one can stand against us, and all the weapons that are formed against us will not prosper. But Lord, help us to find the true enemy that's stopping us, and that's ourselves, Lord. I pray for everyone today to get rid of that enemy. I pray that we would put a fight against that enemy. Lord, lead us with your word. Lead us with your word. And help us obey your word. No matter what it is, help us obey it. You have a reason for it. We just need to trust you. We need to humble ourselves and let you go ahead of us. Lord, I pray for everyone in this room that no one would leave this room. No one would leave this room wandering in the desert again. No one would leave this room wandering in the wilderness again. But every one of us will cross. Every one of us will possess, will take the land, will take the promises. Lord, you have promises for joy, and we want to take it. You have promises of peace, we want to take it. Lord, you have promises of holiness and righteousness. You have promises of forgiveness. You have promises of success. Lord, you have promises that we are going to live in the kingdom of heaven, the life that Jesus lived. I pray today that we would take these promises and live it. That it would not be something that we heard about, something that we're hearing about. It will be something that we are living. And we're inviting others to live it. Lord, I know that once that changes in our heart, once we start living the promises, it will be easy for us to invite others to live it, because it will be so exciting. And it will be easy to share. Once we have the good news, Lord. Lord, the good news today is that you are available and you can make this happen. Lord, we are done. We are done walking around in the desert, in the wilderness. We want to cross over. We want to go to the other side. Lord, lead us today. Lord, I pray that you would lead everyone. Show them what is stopping them. Stopping everyone from his potential, her potential. God, you see so much in us. And you see a lot that we can take and a lot we can do.